says, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. There was a man around the turn of the century. His name was Ambrose Bierce. And his definition of friendship was this. He said, friendship is a ship big enough to carry two in fair weather and only one in foul. He said, that was friendship. A ship big enough to carry two in fair weather and only one in foul. And what I'd like to talk a little bit tonight on is how seaworthy is your friendship. How seaworthy is your friendship? Luke chapter 10, verse 30. Of course, we know what that parable is, or story that Jesus tells about the Good Samaritan. Starting at verse 30, it says, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves and stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by the other side, and likewise a Levite. And when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And went to him and bound his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to the inn and took care of him. On the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave to the host and said to him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. And then he asked the question, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said to him, he that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said, go and do thou likewise. And that's basically what the whole story was about, telling us how to be a neighbor and how to be a friend. And like the title of the message is, how seaworthy is your friendship? You know, over in James chapter 5 and verse 1, a lot of misunderstanding about what Jesus taught about rich men, and I know that I work for a living, and I work where I work at, it's a union, and I've had some of my conservative friends debate with me about the benefits of unions, about how bad they are, and how that you don't have a right of telling anybody what they have to pay you, and this and that. And there's pros and cons on both sides of the argument, and I'll be the first to admit that there's corruptions in unions, you know, but there's corruptions in politics, there's corruptions in the ministry, and all sorts of things. But that doesn't mean that I believe the providence of God took place at the turn of the century, and God, with His sovereign will, allowed this to take place to put a check on the wicked wealthy to keep them from abusing the poor man so much. This is what the Bible, you know, you say, well, I have a right to pay people what I want to pay them. Are you sure about that? Are you sure about that you have a right? And you might say, well, you have a right, but is there consequences to misuse of that right? You know, I've had people say, well, what about the story about the man that hired people, they went out in the field, he paid them so much a day, and then at noonday some more came out and they paid them, and then at the end of the day some more went out and he paid them the same price. See, that guy was allowed, he said, can I not do with my own whatever I will? I said, you know, but yes, that's true, but realize the man was being liberal, not stingy with his money. He wasn't saying, you know, I'm going to pay you $4, I'm going to pay this guy $3, I'm going to pay this guy $1. The one guy started at the end of the day, and the guy that started at the end of the day was going to get as much as the guy that started at the beginning of the day, but they all agreed to that. That guy was being liberal with his money. But what does James say about the rich man, about what we do to people? Go now, ye rich men, and weep and howl for your misery that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasures together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. What is he saying? He said, hey, now we know that Israel was an agricultural nation. They didn't have the great industrial belt that we have today, the General Motors and what have you. But they was agriculture, and they was out there, they worked in the fields. Brother Sexton, and those people were cheating him on their money. You know, well, look, guys, I'm barely making ends meet. I can't hardly afford to pay you what I'm paying now. Here's your 2 years of corn. Go home and feed your family, you know. And God is saying, look, I know they agreed to that, but you're being an Ebenezer Scrooge. You're being a miser. You're not sharing the wealth. And said, they're going home. They barely have enough to feed their kids. And they're crying out to me, the Lord of hosts, for mercy, and their cries are going to come unto me, and guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to put the squeeze back on you because you're not paying your workers enough. That's what it says there in James chapter 5. You have defrauded your laborers. You have cheated them. Now they're going to start crying unto me. Their kids don't have good enough clothes. They don't have shoes to wear. They don't have enough food to eat. They're getting evicted out of their house, on and on and on. And when they start crying to me, guess what? I'm going to reply. And guess who I'm going to reply back on? You. That's what he says. Well, what else? Well, that's New Testament teaching, but God under the Old Testament now. That, you know, I'm a Cecil B. DeMille man. You know, I believe in the Old Testament. You know, I believe in the law. Well, let's read what he said under the law in Exodus chapter 22 and verse 22. Ye shall not afflict any widow. Now, this is the law of Moses. This is what Moses commanded the Israelites. Ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. If thou afflict them in any wise, and they cry at all unto me. If you afflict them in any way, and they cry even at all unto me, I will surely hear their cry. Now he's talking to the Jews here, amongst their neighbors, telling about how to be a neighbor. And he says, and my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. If you lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as a user, neither shalt thou lay upon him interest. If thou at all take thy neighbor's raiment to pledge, thou shalt deliver it unto him by that the sun goeth down. For that is his covering only, it is his raiment for his skin. When shall be his sleep? And it shall come to pass when he crieth unto me, will I not hear, for I am gracious. If you take his coat for collateral and the sun goes down, you better give it back because he's in a fix and he's poor and you're being too demanding. And when he cries unto me and he's cold, guess what? I'm going to hear his prayer. That's what he said in the Old Testament. Well, guess what else he said? Over here in Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 3. Wherefore have we... Now, oh man, I'm a praying man, boy. I mean, I really believe in prayer and fasting. And I mean, boy, I fast and I pray and I fast and I pray. Well, God said that our prayers and our fasting can actually be a waste of time if we're not being a neighbor. That's what he says. Wherefore have we fasted, say thou, and thou seest not? Well, Lord, we're wholeness people. But yet I don't see much happening. How come? Well, what was taking place during the days of Isaiah? Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge, Lord? Behold, in the days ye fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. You know what that word exact? In other words, you suppress. You suppress all your labors. 58 and verse 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loosen the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out into thy house? This isn't Jesus' message of the Sermon on the Mount. This is Old Testament teaching. When thou seest the naked, that thou covereth him, and that thou shalt not hide thyself from thy own flesh. When you see somebody in need, somebody that's maybe not as fortunate as you, and you've got a you've got so many dresses in that closet. I mean, you got to squeeze them, you know, that closet and them hangers apart just to get that dress in there, you know, and that dress shirt or that suit, you know, and you know you got so many blouses and all the other, you know, in your dresser drawer, you got to smash them all down there and squeeze that drawer. You've got so many clothes and your bed. You got to trip over shoes. You got so many shoes around your bed and your laundry room and this and that. And you know, I mean, I got so aggravated. I've got 4 women at my house, and you can imagine, Brother Gary, the shoes that I have. And I keep telling them, I said, take your shoes upstairs, take your shoes upstairs. And finally, I got to the point they wasn't listening. I figured, well, if I bought them, I can throw them away. So I just got the garbage can, Brother Gary. And I mean, I just threw every one of them in the garbage can and put the lid on. But you ought to see them digging for them shoes. You know, hey, but we're so blessed. And God is saying, listen, there's people out there. I mean, just in our midst, you know, we don't have to go to Africa to find poor people. There's people right here in our church and family members and what have you, you know, and that we can help. People that, you know, I believe we should help preachers, but even those that aren't preachers, we should help one another. Because the sermon, the story about the Good Samaritan, the Levite and the priest were both preachers. But the man that fell among the thieves wasn't. And they wasn't willing to help that man. But I wonder if that would have been a Levi or a priest, if they would have helped him. But Jesus said this guy was a nobody. They didn't know him from Adam. Well, let me read a little bit more there from Isaiah. Let me start at verse 7 so you'll get the punch of what he's saying in Isaiah. Verse 7. He says, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou bring the poor that are cast out into thy house? When thou seest the naked, thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Verse 8, then, if you'll do that, what he said in verse 6 and 7, to have mercy on the poor and the hungry and the naked, etc., then shalt thy light break forth as a morning, and thy health shall bring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here am I. When we do what it says there in verse 6 and 7. He said, but you don't understand. I've been praying, man. I've been praying and praying and fasting and fasting. And you know, that guy that mows my yard and works for me. And, you know, and I mean, I give him every bit of $2 an hour and $3 an hour. And I just don't understand why he's not happy. And on and on. You know, I remember I used to work for a government agency where we weatherized houses and what have you. And I remember one time we went to this one preacher's house and went there, and we'd done the work. The work was done very well. And I remember there's another house we went to, and this man, he was a center man. He was he had a Harley motorcycle in his barn, and an old bar fist fighting, you know, bar hopping fella, you know, an older fella, lived down on a farm, you know. But I remember when our crews went to his house, we went there, and they got ready to leave for lunchtime, and his wife came out and said, hey, where you going? You guys ain't going nowhere. You get right in there and wash your hands and sit down at the table. And they had chicken and mashed potatoes and gravy and cornbread and all kinds of stuff fixed for them boys, you know. And them boys come back to shop about 5 o'clock and was just couldn't get over how that Harley Davidson redneck motorcycle guy just took care of him, Brother Gary. And the next day they went out there, and sure enough, they got about noontime, they got ready to load up the tools, and the lady came back, where are you boys going? Get back in the house. And they had pork chops and all the fixing and this and that. Got to be quitting time. They said, hold on, fellas. Here, take this pie home. Oh, here, take this popcorn home. So we grow homegrown popcorn. Take this popcorn home. And them guys just talk and talk and talk about that sinner man and his wife, how good they treated them. And then we had the state inspector come down. Where he would inspect some of the houses. And we thought, well, we're going to take him to this preacher's house because he had a very nice home. We did good work on his house. We're going to take the state inspector to show off his house, you know, because they let us pick what houses we wanted to. And the state inspector was going to go out, look at the work, took him out to the preacher's house. And the state inspector said, well, how did you like the job overall? And all this was done for free, by the way. And these guys were only making, you know, $6-7 an hour. Anyway, the guy said, well, it was okay, but to be honest with you, if I was paying for it myself, I wouldn't have liked it. And I mean, the guy had told me, you know, when he signed off on the work, he told me he loved it. And my mouth about dropped to the floor, you know. I'm like, what? Oh, and he said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, like over here, you know, if you look real close and turn your head sideways, you know, you can see maybe this ain't quite as square as what it needs. And over here, maybe this door, you know, it could have been just a little bit different tint of a color. And luckily, the state inspector was wise enough, he could see what a snob this guy was. And when we went out the door, he even joked about the guy, you know. Well, but the problem was when it got back to those men, I had three crews below me, and when we got back to those men, they heard what that preacher had said about them. Guess what? Who do you think those men respected the most? The Harley Davidson motorcycle rider or the preacher man? They said, I hope that guy drops dead. And about a week later, his furnace backed up, carbon monoxide went all in his house, and him and his wife both got put in the hospital, and those sinner men laughed about it. Not that it was right, but they sure didn't have any love for that man. But if that man on the Harley Davidson motorcycle would have got sick, those guys probably would have taken him money and sent flowers. They may have went and visited him in the hospital. Well, it makes a difference how we treat people. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 5. And I will come near to you in judgment. I will be swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against false swearers, against those that oppress the hireling in his wages. Buddy, all I can afford is give you minimum wage. I know I got a Mercedes out back and three other Cadillacs, but I can only afford to give you $4 an hour. I can pay you what I want to pay you. That's not what God says. Or you might choose to do that, but there'll be consequences to that. The widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right hand, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. Proverbs 23 and verse 10. Remove not the old landmark, and enter not into the fields of the fatherless, nor for their Redeemer is mighty, and he shall plead their cause with thee. You know, Job was a mighty man before God, and you know, we all love talking about Job. Let me read what Job said when he was in his deep oppression. Job 29 verse... You know, Satan himself came before Job, and God said, you ain't seen nobody like Job. I mean, he's my main man. He's a main contender. Ain't nobody like him on all the earth. Will you let God be able to say that about you? Ain't nobody like Job. I can count on him. He's a man after my own heart. Ain't no man like him. Wouldn't you like to be like him? Well, let me tell you what kind of man Job was. Oh, Job, he suffered. He had patience. What? That was during the trial. What kind of man was Job that God knew he could count on? Listen what it says here in Job chapter 29, verse 1. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, Oh, that I were in the months past, in the days when God preserved me, when His candle shine upon my head, and when by His light I walked through darkness. As I was in days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle, when the Almighty was with me, when my children were about me, when I washed my steps with butter, and the rocks poured me out rivers of oil, when I went out of the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in streets. He's saying, when I entered into the cities, this is what took place. The young men saw me and hid themselves, and the aged arose and stood up. The princesses refrained from talking and laid their hands on their mouth. The nobles held their peace, and their tongue cleaved to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard me, then it blessed me, and when the eye saw me, it gave witness. When I came into town, everybody hushed and gave me reverence and honor. When I talked, people listened. Even the princes themselves. They all paid respect unto me. When I came into town, they said, here comes Job. Verse 12, why? Why was Job so honored? Verse 12, do you want to be a man like Job? Why did they honor him so much? Verse 12, because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help him. The blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's hearts to sing for joy. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. I was eyes to the blind, and the feet I was to the lame. I was a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not I searched out. I break the jaws of the wicked and pluck the spoils out of his teeth. Then I said, I shall die in my rest, and I shall multiply my days as the sand. My root was spread out by the waters, and dew lay all night upon my branch. My glory was fresh in me, and my bough was renewed in my hand. Unto me men gave ear, and waited, and kept silence at my counsel. After my words they spake not again, and my speech dropped upon them. And they waited for me as it was for the rain, and they opened their mouth wide as for the latter rain. If I laughed on them, they believed it not. If I joked with them and kidded with them, They didn't believe it. They knew Job. Oh, he's just joking. Job wouldn't say nothing bad about nobody. If Job made a joke about his suit or his tie, he's simply playing. We know Job, he even takes care of the fatherless. He's eyes to the blind and feet to the lame and on and on and on and on. Job wouldn't make fun of nobody. He's just making a joke is all. They won't believe that. In the light of my countenance, they cast not down. And I chose out their way and set chief and dwelt as a king in the army, as one that comforteth the mourners. Deuteronomy 24 and 14. Thou shalt not oppress a hired servant that is poor and needy, whether he be of thy brethren or thy strangers that are in thy land within thy gates. Verse 15. At his day thou shalt give him his hire, neither shall the sun go down upon it, for he is poor and setteth his heart upon it, lest he cry against thee unto the Lord, and it be sin unto thee. How seaworthy is your friendship? Let's find us a place to pray.